Yay! Thank you, sweetheart. Oh, good morning, Unity of New York. Woo! I am so happy to be here with you today. And I want you to take just one more look at that affirmation we did a few moments ago. I just need to hear that one more time. That part that says, I am strong of heart, courageous, and triumphant. Would you know that with me? I am strong of heart, courageous, and triumphant. Amen. I hope that got your heart pounding like it did mine this morning, as if Antonio didn't make your heart start pounding already. Well, as some of you know, I retired back in December. And in the past couple of months, I've been blessed not only to expand my ministry commitments, but also to dive headlong into two of my very favorite pastimes, reading and going to the movies. I have rediscovered the library. Remember the library? The New York Public Library is one of the most awesome treasures in our city, and I encourage you to go, and it's free. So back in the doldrums of winter, I stumbled onto an extraordinary new book, and I found myself really fascinated with it. It's called The Book of Strange New Things, and it's by a guy named Michel Faber. It's a science fiction novel. Now, I haven't read much science fiction lately, but this one really grabbed my attention. In fact, it's created a whole new genre of writing called science fiction slash spiritual. The main character of the Book of Strange New Things is a minister who's been chosen to go into space as a missionary to serve the population of a newly colonized planet. Isn't that awesome? Wow! He's leaving his wife and everything that he knows light years behind to serve a community that he's never encountered before, where he has no notion of how to speak their language, or even what they look like. It's an amazing book, really well written. And as I read farther into the story, a question kept coming up in my mind. Wow, could I do that? If I heard the Spirit calling me to suit up and get on the space shuttle and boldly go where no minister has gone before, would I have the courage to do that? Well, you know what a sense of humor God has, and sure enough, that little word, courage, started to pop up everywhere I went. I went to see Selma, the movie, a few weeks after that. It's so well done. It's terrific acting and almost an overwhelming story of courage. I was reminded once again of the bravery of Dr. King and his wife, Coretta, and all who marched with them. But a lesser-known character really made the movie special for me. Near the end of the film, just after the attempt the first time to cross the bridge of Selma, we meet the character of James Reeb, a white Unitarian minister. When Dr. King sent out the call for clergy to join him in Selma for the second voting rights march, Reeb heard the call and was on a plane headed south that very evening. After the demonstration, many of the clergy returned home, but James Reeb decided to stay in Selma a few more days. That evening, Reeb and two other white Unitarians ate dinner at an integrated restaurant. Afterward, they were attacked by several white men, and Reeb was clubbed on the head. He died 2 days later at the age of 38, leaving a wife and four small children. There was nationwide mourning by thousands of people in the country, and Dr. King himself eulogized James Reeb. Coincidentally, that funeral was 50 years ago today, March 15th, on the same day that President Lyndon Johnson delivered the draft of the Voting Rights Act to Congress. Wow, I thought. Would I have hopped on a plane after seeing the march called Bloody Sunday on the news? Would I have filed in line behind Dr. King? Would I have even dared to eat dinner in an integrated restaurant in Selma, Alabama? Would I have had the courage to do it? Just the thought of these courageous clergymen and women made my heart start to pound. It's no surprise that the word courage comes from the old French word heart, It's the root word of one of my favorite words, encouragement. Courage literally means to take something to heart. Now, when most of us think of the word courage, we might think of it in a couple of different ways. There's physical courage, where we commit to take action no matter what, in the face of physical pain or hardship or the threat of death, like soldiers fighting in a war or firefighters running into a burning building. There's mental courage, when we endure and persist to search for innovation despite many failures, like Thomas Edison or Walt Disney or Steve Jobs. And of course, there's spiritual courage, where we open ourselves up to our own vulnerability and the great mysteries of life, where we can no longer act from what we feel others want or expect us to do, when we no longer allow fear to rule our lives, where we take action in the face of shame or scandal or discouragement. Spiritual courage means being open to questions like, why am I here? What is my life for? And what is my purpose? The talk title today, Be of Good Courage, is from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9, which reads, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be you dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, Joshua was a totally classic Sunday school hero. When I read about Joshua, I remembered that little song from Sunday school. Anybody ever know the song about Joshua? Joshua fit the battle of Jericho and the walls come tumbling down. That was a classic for me. That is our same guy, Joshua, a man of great courage and many adventures. You see, Joshua was Moses' right-hand man, his second in command, who led the Israelites into the promised land after Moses died. He was considered not only a great general, but also a model leader. He was practical and level-headed and ever faithful to God. When the Israelites were on the border of the promised land, Moses sends out an advance party of 12 spies to check it out. Well, 10 of the spies came back and said the promised land was fantastic. It was green and full of food and good water, but it was filled with fierce warriors. Some of them were even giants, and they lived in fortified cities. 10 spies came back terrified and too intimidated to encourage the Israelites forward. But the last two, Joshua and Caleb, came back to report that, too, the land was fantastic. But they said the Israelites should absolutely go forward to take the land that had been promised by God. See, Joshua and Caleb had not forgotten that God had overcome Egypt, the most powerful nation on earth at that time. Joshua knew the truth first and foremost, that if God could handle the Egyptian army, the giants of the promised land would be a piece of cake. Well, we know the next part of the story. The Israelites went into the promised land, bravely led by Joshua, and overcame many obstacles. Joshua bravely went on to take the empty place that Moses left, fulfilling his purpose. And he inherited a great promise. God encouraged Joshua, saying, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. You know, I think it's no small coincidence that we had two phenomenally courageous people, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, as our Unity founders. I tend to think of them as slightly more modern versions of Joshua or David or Ruth in the Bible, but equally as legendary in their courage. Most of us here this morning know Myrtle's story, but I think it bears repeating briefly, especially as we think about living a life of courage. Myrtle Fillmore became ill with tuberculosis in the late 1880s when doctors offered no known cure for that disease. We can only imagine the human fear that seized her heart at hearing what was then a terminal diagnosis. She was in her early 40s, she was happily married, and she had three rambunctious little boys who needed her. Myrtle, however, was a woman of deep faith, an inquiring mind, and an open heart. She went to a New Thought lecture by Dr. E.B. Weeks, where she was encouraged to seek divine healing through affirmative prayer. One of her best-known affirmations became, "I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness." I don't know for sure, but my guess is that Myrtle may have come up against a little opposition about pursuing this treatment of affirmative prayer, don't you? I'm sure she had her naysayers, but as we know, she took heart, and she prayed, and she persevered, and was completely healed in just a couple of years. She started working with others who needed healing, and her healing inspired her husband Charles, and Myrtle and Charles together began the spiritual healing support system that became Silent Unity. They were blessed with abundant health and long lives. Myrtle lived to be 86, and Charles to age 94. Now, if we think back to the 1890s, when Charles and Myrtle were exploring this new philosophy that eventually became called Unity, in that sheltered and moderate Midwest of Kansas City where the Fillmores lived, my guess is this whole thing called Unity had its own naysayers, don't you think? I imagine there wasn't a day that Charles and Myrtle weren't called crackpots initially, or worse, and they had to take a stand for God as they knew it to be. How did they weather that storm? What gave them the heart of courage to carry on? How do we begin to stand up as leaders in our own lives and face our own challenges with courage and hearts of love? I see these co-founders as such icons of courage that it surprised me a little when I realized courage is not one of Charles Fillmore's 12 powers of man. The 12 powers, as Mr. Fillmore said, are the spiritual abilities that Jesus embodied perfectly and that live in every one of us. For those of you who know about the 12 powers, you know we often combine two or more of those powers together to activate and stir up spirit in different parts of our lives. Well, I think courage might be a natural combination of the power of faith and the power of strength. Faith is our ability to believe, to use our intuition, and to perceive. We all know that verse, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith helps us look past appearances of lack and limitation and difficulty and take hold of a divine idea and believe in it. Through faith, we know the truth. When we look within our hearts with faith, we know everything is going to be all right. Strength is our ability to endure, to keep on going, and to persevere. Strength, just like courage, is expressed in three different ways. Physical strength is our vitality, our endurance, and our persistence. Mental strength helps us lead and follow through and establish our purpose in life. But the highest expression of strength is the spiritual awareness of this quality. Here is where strength really takes the hand of faith and they walk together. Faith comes first, because without faith in the goodness of God, there is no way to take action. But faith has to be established in strength. Faith must be continually strengthened, and strength must be inspired by faith. And with both of these perfect powers working together, we have the courage to do the things that need to be done by us. Now, as spiritual beings having a human experience, and if you've ever watched Survivor on TV, we know that physical strength can be overcome by someone or something stronger. Mental strength alone can become just a struggle of wills and come to nothing. But as spiritual beings, we know that spiritual strength will stand strong regardless of any challenge. In our daily lives, it seems that courage is something everybody is looking for. From the Bible to the Wizard of Oz, all the way to Harry Potter, our culture is filled with stories about bravery and sacrifice for the greater good. I believe when we bring together faith and strength to follow our hearts, we manifest courage. When we know deeply and completely that there is only one power and one presence in the universe and in our lives, God the good, what can we possibly fear? As our Unity prayer chaplains know, in times of fear and doubt, we breathe and we go to our hearts. In our human experience, we pretty well know when fear is going to pop up for us, don't we? Well, for me, it's in times of uncertainty or loss of money, loss of power, loss of control, but especially in loss of life. I think our human experience just makes us crave sameness and safety. I think especially fear shows up for us when we are reaching for something bigger than ourselves. When we feel a desire growing in our heart and want to step out of that comfort zone. Do we have the courage to water that little seedling of a dream? Do we have the heart to trust that God planted this desire to grow in our hearts? I tend to think of fear as bad, that I have to make my fear go away. But when I can meet my darkest fears right where they are in the full brightness of my heart, I begin to release them to Spirit. When we commit to take action, when we choose to be bigger than our fear, we know, just like Joshua, that God's power is far bigger than any giant. Buddhist nun Pema Chodron says, the next time we experience fear, we should consider ourselves lucky, because that's the realization that opens the door for our courage. Sure, we can fight against it, but we don't have to put on courage like a raincoat. We don't have to banish our fear or shame ourselves for feeling it. We just open our hearts and let faith and strength step in. Go within and stand our ground in the face of fear. Or as one happy pundit puts it, never be afraid to stand up for what you believe in. And if people get angry, you can always pretend you were just standing up to stretch. Right here at Unity of New York, it's a perfect moment to take a deep breath and fill our hearts with courage. We come here every Sunday to encourage each other, don't we? It's one of the greatest blessings we can give each other in this busy, challenging, magnificent New York City. We gather to remind ourselves of the faith of God, to be inspired by each other, and to feel our own strength grow, to know the truth that each one of us has heard God's promise, just like Joshua. The Spirit is in us and all around us and will be with us always. To know that our dreams of greatness live in our hearts for a reason, and we have all the courage we need to do what is ours to do. We don't need to know exactly what's happening or how it's going to go. We just need to recognize the possibilities offered in this moment and choose to embrace our courage and our hope. In happy anticipation of St. Patrick's Day coming up on Tuesday, I'd like to close out this morning with a portion of a very special prayer by the amazing priest and poet John O'Donohue. I hope you'll take these words home in your heart. May we have the courage today to live the life that we would love, to postpone our dreams no longer, but do at last what we came here for, and waste our hearts on fear no more. And so it is. Amen.
Do you need the podium for your meditation?
Yeah.
Thank you, Antonio. Thank you, Becca. Wow. How are you feeling now? Just feel that energy in the air. Feel the safety of this space. Feel the love in this space. Take a breath. And allow yourself to go even deeper. Knowing just how blessed you are in this moment. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have, for all that I am, for all that God is. I am so grateful. I am so grateful. I am so blessed. Please know this together. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that I am.
We are so grateful for all that God is. I invite you now to sit easily in your chair, feel your feet on the floor, and let your body relax. Feel the soft air around you. Feel the easy peace of this sacred space and moment. As we breathe in and move our consciousness to our hearts, we slip again into the welcoming embrace of all that God is. Here we are safe and secure in the heart of God, and fully present to the faith and strength that support us and fill us with courage. Where will I bring my courage into action today? If there is any fear or doubt or burden on my heart today, I will bravely bring it to mind. In this moment, I will see it in the full light of God. In my human vision, I might mistake it for a giant. But looking through the eyes of spirit, I see it dwindling in size as I bless it and release it to God's infinite power. Here in my bright heart of courage, there is no room left for fear. As darkness leaves, my heart is lighter. I relax and see the right and perfect next steps to take. My path is made clear and smooth. I open to divine understanding and welcome new guidance coming my way. With infinite faith in the goodness of God, I see my eyes lifting to a new horizon, a higher perspective. In this moment of prayer, I look beyond my past to know my future is assured. I am God's beloved child, and I go to meet my good. I stand tall and know my dreams are well within my grasp. As we move into a few moments of silence, let your heart rest and rejoice in this empowered space. Be of good courage.